You're listening to VFN TV highlights at VFNKB.com. Enjoy. Today we have with us Adam Phil. He's the founder and president of Co-Mission. Adam is a native of Ireland. He was led to the Lord at age six. Through elementary school and high school, God used him to be a testimony of his power, keeping the power of God. He graduated Summit International School of Ministry and worked as a staff pastor for 2 years in Ireland. After 2 years in Ireland, he and his wife Ashley church planted for 3 years in Kerry, Ireland. And then Adam was an associate pastor in Cork, Ireland. And in Cork, they felt as called to the U.S. to be able to come and minister, where Adam became an evangelist for the West Florida District Assemblies of God. And for the last 3.5 years, Adam led evangelistic outreaches across the state of Colorado and the U.S. He has worked for World Change and partnered with ministries such as Nikki Cruz Outreach. Yes, the Cross and the Switchblade, Nikki Cruz. It has been an amazing experience for Adam to be affirmed in his calling as an evangelist and to be raised in ministry that was founded by David Wilkerson. Nikki Cruz is an overseer of Co-Mission, and his son-in-law and the CEO, Nikki Cruz Outreach, Patrick Dowell, is also on his advisory board. Welcome, Adam, to VFN TV.
Yes.
I'm so glad to have you, man.
Great to be here.
Oh, yes, my goodness. Absolutely. What a history. I mean, I think about, you know, David Wilkerson and the passionate man he was, and, you know, his prophetic word, his unction. I remember him launching Manhattan Times Square Church. He was just casting vision when he came to Pensacola, the Gulf Coast, during those years, and told us about what he was going to do. And, you know, coming from spending time in Manhattan, that was a big, big thing that he stepped out to do. And, of course, it became great success.
Yeah.
The amazing story of, you know, Nikki Cruz and David Wilkerson. You know, people may have read The Cross and the Switchblade and the reality and the passion of David, and willing to just stick in there when people are beating you and you still say you love them and you come back again. And I kind of see that in your life when I see some of the things that, you know, you're doing and some of the testimonies we're going to share on the program, just what God's doing in your life. I kind of sense a little bit of that. I mean, I can see some things that you've gone through and you've done and you're willing to do for God. And I mean, it's very encouraging. So we're so glad to have you on.
Yeah, great to be here. Absolutely.
So how did you, you're born in Ireland.
That's right, yeah.
So how, tell us your journey real quick, if you would, how you were raised in Ireland.
I was raised in Ireland. Both my parents were actually both Roman Catholics prior to meeting each other, and they both got saved under the gospel and gave their hearts to Jesus and started attending an Assembly of God church in County Cork, Ireland. And they met, got married. Then I was born into a family, a Christian family, which was, it broke the generational lineage of our family, which for decades, for who knows how long back, were very strong Roman Catholics. And the Lord really started convicting me at a very young age. When I was 6 years old, that's when my mom actually sat me down, led me to the Lord. And even in elementary school and throughout junior high, I wasn't perfect. I wasn't like this class A genius, I knew I had need for Jesus. And I knew He had called me to be an evangelist from a young age.
Wow.
And I was evangelizing in school, I was evangelizing in our community, in our city, and from a young age just began sharing the gospel. I had a burden for souls, and a lot of it was because of the Assembly of God vision of winning souls to Jesus Christ, and that was the passion of our church at the time was, you're not really discipling someone unless personal, intentional evangelism was taking place. And we really need to get back to that again, where discipleship's not just educational only, but it's the evangelization of our local community, whatever that looks like, whether it's in the marketplace or if it's personal missions or it's going into the rescue mission or the prisons. But evangelism has to be a part of discipleship, and that's one of the thrusts of our ministry, is to really make evangelism great again in our country.
Yeah, and then America truly would be great again.
Yes, then it would truly...
evangelism is great, then it would be great.
And evangelism is always going to be an outflow of our relationship with the Lord. So it can't be the focus, because when evangelism is the focus, we get into a works-based, anxiety-driven, even a fear-driven base of evangelism. Mm-hmm. It's always an outflow of our relationship with Jesus. So as an evangelist, it's not just wanting to get the church rallied for evangelism. Mm-hmm. Really, we want to get the church rallied for Jesus.
Right.
Because when we are in love with Jesus, we will want to share him with everyone around us. And that's what makes us different than all of the other religions, because they do a great job at evangelizing.
Right.
Just last week, we had Jehovah's Witnesses walking through our neighborhood, and I was convicted to think to myself, you know, the evangelical church are really very nowhere to be found, but the Jehovah's Witnesses are. But what makes us different when we start evangelizing is they have to do it.
Right.
But we don't. We want to do it. We get to do it. And that's why our evangelism outperforms everyone else, because we've got the Lord working in us, doing through us.
When we do it.
When we do it.
Yeah, I think about, you know,
that's good.
Mike Bickle, the founder of International House of Prayer,
when
he first, you know, his first days in the Lord, first, you know, seasons in the Lord, that he was caught under the have to. And, you know, this is what you're supposed to do. And he was just like, oh, he said, I didn't talk to five people today. So he'd get out of bed angry and he'd go find five people to talk to, something like that, you know.
Right, yeah.
Until he had the revelation of the love of God.
Yes,
That out of our love for him and out of spending time with him, abiding with him,
then
that passion comes out, and then out of love you tell people about him. Of course, it's religion outside of that, right?
It is.
It's not done in love.
It is, and that's what we try to tell people, like, never read your Bible because you have to, or never obey God because you have to, because when you do, you're it's not going to last long. Even the disciples, after being with Jesus for 3 years, and Jesus said to them, will you pray with me for an hour?
Right.
And for them, it was nearly like a have to, and they couldn't even pray with Jesus when he wanted it the most from them, not even for an hour. It wasn't until they were endued with power, and the Holy Spirit gives that revelation of what Christ accomplished, and gives that revelation of who we are in Christ, so that we get to pray. I mean, we get to evangelize.
Jesus even says, wait for the gift.
Yes.
Don't go anywhere yet. Wait for the gift, because you'll be endued with that power to do what I'm telling you.
So when I read the Bible, it's because I want to. Yeah. When I evangelize, it's because I want to. Because that's the life we're called to live. We're called to live a born-again life where he's living in us. Like that scripture in Galatians 2:20 says that it is Christ that's at work.
Right.
You know, we're no longer doing this on our own. We now have Christ living in us.
Right.
And we no longer live. It's Christ that's at work doing this thing through us. And so when we surrender to him in that relationship and we say to him, have your way with me, he really gives us the desire and the passion and the excitement. And when we're evangelizing, people will want what you have, because they'll say, this guy really wants to talk about this. This is not like anything I've ever seen before. There's no religion, there's no force, there's no pressure, there's no have to.
The Spirit of God's with him.
The Spirit of God is with him.
The kingdom is near.
Yes.
That's awesome. Yeah. You know, a lot of people that think religiously instead of relationally, and you're talking about being relational, God wants family, not robots. And so...
That's right.
When you say that I only read my Bible when I don't read it when because I have to, to that mindset, they think, well, you will never read it. They don't understand.
That's
no, I'm always reading,
reading it
because I want, you know.
Yeah.
That mindset is, if I don't force someone to do it, they won't want to do it.
And that's the...
It's the opposite.
It's the opposite.
Yeah. And it's like, it's that when you fall in love with Jesus.
Yes. Yeah.
And you want to know it's living, it's active, it's sharper than a double-edged sword. It's just going to penetrate your life, and it's going to be, you know, it's the proceeding, all these awesome things about the Word of God. And then it's like, you can't get someone out of it.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they're getting it in them, the Word in them. So it's a total... Yeah. People think if you don't make yourself, you know, do three chapters a day, it's kind of like, you know, you just got to spend time with God. And
well,
with
I think you're right. I think Satan loves to put checklists on us and put rules on us and put duty on us.
Yeah.
But Paul said it's the love of God that compelled him.
Yeah.
And he was compelled within him. And so this life is a compelling life. It's not duty. It's not have to's. That's what the law came to accomplish, and all it could do was minister condemnation, because we don't have the power or the ability to be as disciplined as we want to be. I mean, Jesus was the greatest disciple maker to ever walk the planet.
Right.
Yet look at the accomplishment of his discipleship. After 3 years of the disciples following Jesus, they didn't even have what it took to get through that hard time, because Jesus was showing them for the 3 years what they couldn't do.
Right.
And sometimes we have to realize what we can't do before we know who can do it through us.
Right.
And right now, a lot of people are, they're feeling, I can't do this, I don't know how to do it. That's a great place to be, because now you're open to the power of the Holy Spirit to do through you what you could never do on your own.
Well, see, and Jesus said, and we were talking about, is that he said, I protected you, I was there with you.
Mm.
That's how you were protected. But I'm going to go be with the Father, but I'm going to send my Spirit.
Yes.
And my Spirit will lead you into it all. He'll tell you things I couldn't even tell you. I mean, and so to miss the fact that there was a transition of the Trinity, you know, the God birthing his church, that is to miss the whole fact is that, no, he sent the Spirit, his Spirit down to earth to lead us. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God.
Yeah.
You know, that if you read even in Revelation, where he's talking about how we get through that, or whatever your post-bend or whatever, it's the leading of God's Spirit. He directly leads. It's abiding with him. You know, when you hear, hide his word in your heart and listen to him and talk to him, he will lead you. But apart from him, you can't do nothing, right?
We can't do anything, yeah.
And so I just want to say right now, those that are watching, this is something that, you know, Adam does, and we... You know, a lot of people want to abide with God, because Jesus says, apart from abiding in him, you could do nothing. But if you abide with him and his word abides in you, you can ask whatever you wish and it'll be given to you. Well, you need a simple plan. We have a simple plan for you. It's free. It's at iabide.org.
Mm.
It's at iabide.org. Go there now. Get your simple plan. It'll come to you right away. People from all around the world, every nation it seems of the world are abiding, because they went there to get their free abiding plan. What's so cool is Adam abides with Jesus, and what he's talking about today is coming out of his personal abiding experience with God. And this could be you too. Maybe you're going to be the next one that's sitting there talking about the things of God and the power of God, because God's got big plans. We just have to tap into what he's saying and obey what he's saying in the context of that. Now, obviously, when God don't forget, you go to iabide.org. So when you're in Ireland, God begins to lead you. So a lot of people think you just got an idea. But the truth is, you know, the reason why we're on television, you know, God said be on television.
Yeah.
So it wasn't even in our grid.
Wow.
You know, and we just said yes.
Amen.
But people don't understand how these things can happen if they don't understand the Holy Spirit's leading you.
Yeah.
You know, as you focus on Jesus, you spend time with God, and that he just has so many wonderful things in store.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, growing up in Ireland, we had this saying, the earth is your oyster, or the world is your oyster. I don't know if you heard that.
No.
But for the believer in Jesus, heaven is our oyster.
Mm.
All the caps are broken. All the limitations are broken. There are so many living under the limitation of maybe the zip code they were born into, or the family they were born into, or the legacy that they were born into.
Right.
But when we come into Christ, we are born into a new legacy, into a new heritage, into new benefits, into new, and so many have forgotten their benefits.
An heir of God, a joint heir with Jesus, an heir of the creator of the universe.
That's right.
A joint heir with Jesus Christ.
And as an Irishman, I am a Republican, and we fought to be a republic for a very long time on our island.
Right.
And I want to encourage each and every one of you that are here in the United States is that there is more royal blood in a believer than there is in Buckingham Palace.
Yes.
Because when we're in Christ, we're of a whole new lineage.
Right.
And you, when you grew up in Ireland, you're very aware of you're Irish. Nothing really good has ever came out of your island. You're in poverty. We have a terrible history. We had the famine. We had so much going on of so much oppression on the Irish people. But when the gospel was preached to our family and to many on that island, that Jesus puts value on us, puts significance on us.
It
calls us his own, that no matter what our family lineage was, he redefines us and puts his mantle upon us of blessing and favor. It's one of the most phenomenal messages. And so as an evangelist, it's so easy to teach this, to preach this, to live this, because who wouldn't want what Jesus offers? It's such a phenomenal message.
Yeah.
But religion has come in and it's put this cap on it and made it
nobody wants
out to
religion.
Be Really, yeah. It's
even so, the ones that are moving in religion don't want religion.
Well, they're very depressed.
Yes.
And they're very heavy.
Yes.
And it's yeah. It's a very heavy thing that
right.
it's so weightyful. It's right. nearly like tabloids sell really well, you know, and people watch the news at night to hear bad news.
Mm.
We are prone on wanting bad news because for whatever reason, bad news is what makes us realize life's not as bad for us as it is for other people.
Mm.
So it's a coping mechanism for us. But Jesus came to bring good news.
Yeah.
And it's such good news. And sometimes, you know, when you're preaching the good news, people come over and say, but there's all this bad news as well.
Right.
Like, where's the bad news and all of that? But really, there's no bad news. It's
right.
all good news.
Yes.
Even the eternal hell and the fire and brimstone message mm-hmm. is still good news because hell was never designed for
right.
a human being.
Right.
It was never God's intent to put humanity in there. It was designed for Satan
right.
and all of the demonic host.
Yep.
And because we are...
You have to choose to go there as a man.
We have to choose to go there. But the gospel would never put people in.
Right.
God doesn't put people there. He doesn't predestine people there.
Right.
And there's that fallacy teaching out there where a lot of people in our millennials are buying into that God has elected some to go there.
Right.
And you can't fit that in the nature of God.
No.
You know, He wants none to perish.
Right.
He's after the whosoever.
Right.
He cares about everyone. And Jonah had to learn the hard way
yeah.
when he thought only him and
right.
his people were elected.
Right.
God had to say to Jonah and to the people of Israel, my passion's not just for you as a people. My
right.
passion is for the human race.
Right.
The Ninevites, the Nebuchadnezzars, the Pharaohs.
Right.
God's passion is towards humanity.
Yes.
And in Christ, we see Him breaking down all those boundaries, touching lepers, being with Samaritans, being with the woman at the
all
well.
All the things the law said you couldn't do.
All of those.
Yeah, he was doing
loves
that,
people.
Yeah.
And He loves sinners the most.
Right.
And some of the most dangerous places for sinners to find themselves sometimes is in the church. Rather than sinners
right.
running to the
right.
church, it's
right.
dangerous for a sinner to end up at church because church people aren't like Jesus was. 9 times out of 10, Jesus welcomed them. He
right.
he put His arms around them. He associated
right.
himself mm-hmm. with them. But religion, what it does is it pushes sinners away and
right.
and it doesn't care for the broken of the world, and it just wants the elite and their class of people to gather
together.
Of
course, when you're talking about church, you're talking about somebody who's actually just locked into some
religion,
yes, and that they have a system set up, and then somebody's basically a kink in the wheel if they show up and they don't fit into their system, and no sinner is going to fit into religion. It's the cross of Christ that saves them. It's like, if what we're doing prevents people from finding Him, then what we're doing doesn't need to be done, wouldn't you say?
You're right. Well, the church is His bride, and Jesus loves His church, and we love His church. And the church is related to being like a body.
Mm-hmm.
And our human bodies, if we have too much red blood cells within our body,
right.
we're going to have sickness. We're not going to be able to battle infection.
Mm-hmm.
And even if we get a wound in our physical body,
right.
if you put sugar in that wound, it's only going to increase the bacteria. We need salt in the wound to heal it. And we need white blood cells in our bodies to fight bacteria. And so the gospel message, even the whole purpose behind Scripture in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 teaches us that all Scripture was given by inspiration of God. For what reason? For doctrine, for correction, for instruction, for reproof. We see there that the Bible's there to be that white blood cell, as it were, to be that salt in the wound. It's not that we're against. We're not. We love with all of our hearts, but it is truth that sets us free. It's not putting sugar into the wound. It's actually applying salt to it to make it better, to make it stronger, to make her be everything that she can be. And and so that's one of the passions as our ministry is to say to the bride, you can be more. There's more than this.
Wow.
Even though sometimes it may come off like, that sounds like it's against the bride. It's against the church. It's not at all. It's actually completely for it. We couldn't be more in love with the church of Jesus Christ as we are by saying to the church, there's so much more than this. There's a whole life of the Spirit. There's a life of relationship with Jesus. And we can really be the hands and feet of Jesus while we're here. And I really believe that the next great awakening that we're going to see in America is going to happen on our streets, in our urban communities, in the rescue missions, in the prison systems.
Yeah.
We all want it to happen where we want it to happen, but Jesus spent most of his time
right.
out there with the people.
Right.
And so we want to encourage the church to mobilize to get out of where they thought God was going to move and watch him move outside of the church in the marketplace
that's
or wherever
so,
it is.
That's so true and so powerful. Don't be threatened by what doesn't move because there's more outside than in.
Yeah.
You know, and they're waiting to be told. And I believe the Lord also pulls people away from some things to be able to minister to them and to establish them. And Jeremiah, you know, God was saying, you know, to tell the truth, even though it's not comfortable, is intercession for God's people. So by not telling God's people the truth, you're actually partnering with their destruction.
Yeah.
Wow. But if you, and Ezekiel says, if you do that, then their blood's on your hands. But if they, you do that and they repent, then you want a friend. So, but Jeremiah, the difficult thing he had to do was talk to God's people and say, listen, you know, captivity's ahead. Mm. And God was, at the last moment, he was still pushing for repentance. You know, if they would just repent, right when Jehoiakim, they're doing all that crazy stuff with the foreign governments and stuff, and they were still, he was like, just go stand in front of them and say one more time, one more time, maybe they'll repent. Maybe they, and it was like, it was so rough to hear that there was like, okay, we're going to beat Jeremiah up. We're going to lock him up. He's actually, and he was the truth. And while all the other ones that were saying everything's fine, God's, these storms are not from God, you're not going to go in captivity. Mm. And they had captivity right around the corner. So that tension we talk about between, you know, am I willing to suffer the consequences of religious folks who are going to persecute you for telling the truth? You know, or am I going to suffer the consequences with God who says, now he's going to hold me accountable for their blood because I knew what was right and I didn't tell anybody about that, right?
Where our conscience are captive to the word of God.
Yeah.
And Jesus said the Spirit of God will lead us to the truth. Mm-hmm. And we believe that the 66 books of the Bible is the infallible, inerrant word of God. Yeah. So if the Holy Spirit's going to lead us to truth, it's going to always be within the confinements of Scripture.
Right.
And we see like one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit is self-control. We see Paul telling Timothy, I've not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind.
Right.
So when the Holy Spirit moves in us, he gives us self-control and a sound-mindedness. And he helps us to articulately communicate the Scripture because the Scripture and the Gospel is what really transforms and breaks the bondage of sin off those that are listening.
Right.
And I believe we're going to see one of the greatest moves of the Holy Spirit that we've ever seen before. And we're wide open for the move of the Holy Spirit to come and have your way, come and breathe on us the breath of God, because we know that the anointing of God is not charisma, it's not passion, it's not an emotion. It truly is power unto salvation, to see sinners set free from the bondage of sin. And that's what we're so excited about. And I know that your ministry and all the viewers here want to see a move of the Holy Spirit again in our generation.
We almost end every program with Dear God, End Abortion, Sin Revival, Sin a Third Great Awakening.
Amen.
Every single program.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the VFN TV and the daily radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNKB.com. And don't forget about our VFN KB app. No matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. Connect and sign up for the next webinar or attend our next summit at VFNKB.com. VFN TV and the daily radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.